Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome an accomplished professional from Sydney, Australia, Mr. Ishan Galapathy. Ishan, welcome to the show.
Oh, well, glad to be here, Ashutosh. And I'm humbled that you've invited me and grateful that you've been flexible with me with the shifting of the date. So thank you and good to be here.
Thank you. Ishan is the founding director of Capability Unlimited. He's a productivity expert, a speaker, and an author. He's an author of a book titled Hidden Growth Opportunities, and he's got another book coming up soon, and he'll tell us about it. So Ishan, before we get into your book and productivity, tell me about your own journey in brief.
Yeah, sure. Ashutosh, if you had met me 30 years ago, you would find me in a liminal stage of leaving Sri Lanka, my birth country, and settling down in Sydney, Australia, as a university student at New South Wales, studying mechatronics, robotics, and automation. And that's how I got into Australia. Now, if you had met me 20 years ago, you would have found me again in a liminal stage of leaving my first job in industrial manufacturing and getting into FMCG with large multinational companies looking after end-to-end production from raw material conversion to finished goods. If you had met me 10 years ago, you'd find me probably at the most critical intersection in my life, where I was leaving Kellogg, looking after global continuous improvement and regional operational excellence to start up my own entrepreneurial journey and helping a lot of businesses to help improve productivity and unlock their own excellence.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad I met you 10 years later since you started. So let's talk about productivity. Ishan, how do you define productivity in the context of the manufacturing sector?
Yeah, and this, yes, you asked about the manufacturing, Ashutosh, and the same can apply, you know, from a personal perspective as well. So if the listeners and the viewers, yes, I'll talk from a manufacturing perspective, but applies to your own personal life. So two words, efficiency and effectiveness. And I think if you look at these two words, there are many gurus who have come decades before me. And we know that effectiveness is about doing the right things, and efficiency is doing more of the things that you've chosen to do. So if I bring that to a manufacturing context, so effectiveness is about, are you making the right stuff? Because there are a lot of companies, plenty of warehouses full of finished goods, but their delivery performance is very poor. So they've got the wrong stuff in the warehouses. Now, then the efficiency part, now there are fancy KPIs and acronyms and, you know, measuring systems like OEE, which is operational, I've just stumbled on the word, but operational equipment efficiency, overall equipment efficiency. But it's a complex calculation, a bit like the Duckworth-Lewiston calculation in cricket. But efficiency is about, are you making the right stuff in the right quantity? So in manufacturing, so are you keeping your inventories low enough so that you're not tying up money? But then when you schedule to run your production lines, are you running it to the targets that you have set? And I think if you keep it to those simple concepts, and I'm very big on distilling down all these complex methodologies and frameworks into just simple ideas and simple concepts. So if you bring it that down to those two things.
Well said. Ishan, what are some common misconceptions about productivity that you have encountered?
One of the biggest things I hear, Ashutosh, is, and this was true from a corporate setting, but also now that I go and consult, you know, that's, you know, unfortunately, that's the label we get all labeled with, right? You know, you must be a consultant, is that I've got to run the business. So continuous improvement is the umbrella framework or the umbrella word for improving productivity. So one of the misconceptions is, I need to run the business, and a lot of the people are pulling their hair out and they're busy and it's chaotic. And I don't have time to do continuous improvement or improve my productivity. And I think the late Stephen Covey said it best. You know, it's like the person who doesn't have time to sharpen the saw because he's just busy cutting the tree. So it's a bit like that. People think I don't have time to improve productivity on top of running the business. And that has to be one of the biggest misconceptions. So I go into businesses and say, please don't do any more for the sake of improving productivity or continuous improvement. Continuous improvement is about building capability in your business so that you can choose to do whatever you want to do, whether it is the strategic stuff or whether it is just fixing some of the areas where you're bleeding money in the P&L. Do it. Please don't do it for continuous improvement's sake. And I think if businesses just get that idea alone, I think there are a lot of opportunities that they can work with.
Well said. And you know, when I was preparing for my conversation with you, Ishan, I read about your methodology of chaos to excellence.
Yes.
Can you explain some of the key principles in your chaos to excellence methodology?
Absolutely. And again, for the listeners and the viewers, I'll share with you a link, Ashutosh, that you can perhaps put in the show notes. So there's a free PDF that they can download and read in like the full version. But again, keeping it to an absolute simplified two principles. There is the day-to-day area that one needs to be mindful of and manage. And then there is the improvement of year on year. So they're the two main principles that I talk about and I help businesses to implement. So day-to-day focuses is nothing more than having effective huddle meetings at different levels and different frequencies. So from a shift level to a day level to a weekly level to a monthly, quarterly. And as you go up in this frequency, you're moving from tactical to strategical. And you're also moving from shop floor to generally site leadership level. And I'm talking in the language of a typical manufacturing facility. So if you have the right huddle meetings, with the right agendas and the right dashboards and the right information, and people come prepared to those meetings to take action, and that's one of the biggest issues we have is that we don't understand the information and we don't take action. But if you just set those things up, and it's nothing more than measuring the right metrics and having a meaningful conversation. So that's the day-to-day. It's the lack of these systems that draws a lot of the senior leaders into the chaotic, into the day-to-day chaotic vortex. Let me just say that, because if you don't have these huddle meetings effectively, that's what brings all the leaders into this mad, rush every day that you chase your, you feel like you're chasing your tail. The day-to-day chaos is because of that. Now, conversely, if you can put the right metrics and the measures, that tends to reduce the chaosness, if I can create that word. But that gives you more time to then strategically build capability and run more projects or initiatives to pull the business forward. And that advances your capacity from every aspect of that word, but also the ability to deliver more profits and grow the business as well. So they're the two simplified
Great
concepts.
response. Great response. Thank you. My next question is that based on all the work that you have done, Ishan, what are some of the biggest mistakes leaders tend to make when trying to improve productivity?
The first one has to be thinking that it's all got to be CapEx projects. So capital expenditure is the acronym CapEx, right? So thinking that we need to spend money to improve. So they go after the latest machinery, the latest automation, the robotics. And don't get me wrong, having studied mechatronics, I'm all for automation and technology. But it has to come at the right time. But you don't need to always spend money to improve productivity. That's the first one. And the second one is that they feel like that they when I say they, like the leadership teams, that they need to solve all the problems for
Right.
the people in the factory. So it's almost like they're carrying this weight on their shoulders to solve the problems. And I'm like, look, you're doing it for them, and that's the biggest issue, because you're not involving them, and if you're not involving them, there's a problem with engagement. So the second problem is, don't do it for them. And I show them how the leaders can get the people in the factory involved, and therefore doing it with them. So don't spend money always. There are more ways to unlock hidden capacities. And the other thing is, don't do it for them, do it with them.
Well said, well said. The other thing that I have seen very often in my working career is that there are always some people who are very productive, some are not very productive. There are people who say, this is how it always happens here, or legacy systems, etc. My question to you is, how can leaders develop a culture that fosters continuous improvement in productivity?
Yeah, it's almost a plug for my next book coming. So if you don't mind, I'll just
By
use
all
some of the
means, yeah,
thinking. So the
absolutely.
new book coming roughly will be around June in 2024. Is called Unlock: Engaging the Seemingly Disengaged. And it's all about how we take the people on this journey and creating cultures of excellence is what the book is about. It's full of case studies and stories. It's not a technical manual. I've written it almost like a leadership handbook that people can read and be inspired by the stories of global case studies, as well as my own personal experiences. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about that book. So creating this culture, and you're absolutely right, Ashutosh, in that businesses, no matter the size of the business, whether you're a multinational business or a SME, the statistics that Gallup, which is a global company that measures employee engagement, amongst a lot of other things, but the most useful information that I rely on from Gallup is their annual global data on employee engagement. So in that, what they have shown is that, I'm talking 2022 data, which is the latest we have. On a global scale, the people who are engaged in our workplaces, so these are the people who are really happy and they're working for you, and these are the people that we always rely to get things done, right? Now they are stretched, overwhelmed, burnt, and probably exhausted, is only about 23%, sadly, right? And also, there's about 18%, like the really, really unhappy. They would badmouth the company. They would sabotage, the things that you're trying to do. I think there are these people in the world that they will never see anything good happening to them. It's almost like they live in a victim mentality of that somebody's out to get them, and they just basically take the energy out of you if you have a conversation with them. There's about 18%, according to Gallup. Now, if you can do the maths, I think there's about 56 to 60% stuck in the middle. They're the fence sitters. Now, I call them disengaged, Gallup call them not engaged. So these disengaged people, they're only seemingly disengaged. These people actually want to get involved. So the answer to your question is, in trying to create a productive culture, we often tend to focus on these, like the bad children. It's like the children who are crying and putting on a tantrum. We tend to focus on them, ignore them, just focus on these middle children who are waiting to be loved and cared for. If you just involve them in some of their activities, along with the people who are engaged, two things will happen. One is, by osmosis, these fence sitters will start to convert to becoming believers. And when the second thing is, when that happens, you got more soldiers to go to battle for you and do more good work. And that becomes a virtuous cycle.
Well said, well said. And good luck with your new book, for your new book coming out in June or
Thank
July.
you. Thank you.
My next question for you, Ishan, is that given the amount of technology. Everyone is now being faced with in the corporate world and in our personal lives. What role does technology play in enhancing productivity?
It can provide a great, sorry, it can be a great enhancement tool. But sadly, because a lot of the fundamentals aren't in place, and business leaders look for these apps and technologies and, any cloud solution that, exists, they tend to look for these things as a silver bullet, thinking that they can patch for a lot of the missing processes and systems and, the fundamentals I spoke of, as a way of patching that up. And it doesn't work, because, I go into businesses where there are fancy, worm graphs and, Power BI dashboards and all of this. But I sit in meetings and I observe and I look at the conversations the conversations in the meeting, and often they struggle for insights because they don't know how to interpret the data. If I ask for any specific data in terms of, the detailed number of machine stops or the waste data or a changeover data or even what are the products that are doing really well, I get blank looks because either they don't know how to extract the data or they don't know how to analyze the data or two more things. They basically say it's not configured to give that level of data. And the last thing is, oh, the data's not accurate because people haven't put in the right codes or whatever it is at a shop floor level. So I get really disheartened because companies have invested a lot and it has the capacity to unlock a lot and give all these insights, which is what this whole information era should be about. But because we've kind of skipped this step of not putting in the fundamentals or building the capabilities, people shy away from having a whiteboard and a red pen and a green marker. We are trying to fast track, but it's unfortunately not helping the way it could and it should.
Well said. My next question is that, there is this whole question of sustainability that is now being talked about all over the world, and a lot of it has come from the SDGs of the United Nations. How do you, as an advisor, integrate environmental sustainability into productivity improvement initiatives?
The short answer is I try not to get involved with setting the strategies for the business, because I'm not the strategic expert. I'm good with systems and capability building and putting in the right processes so that the business can decide to do whatever they choose to do. And I make sure I remind them that this is the vehicle to advance your business forward. So if an imperative for the business is to demonstrate to your customers and to the world that you're doing the right stuff, absolutely, then put that into your strategic plan and I'll help you. Once you made the decision, I'll help you to cascade it down and deliver the outcome. Ashutosh, this reminds me of a team that I was working close to Nizamabad in your part of the world. This was almost a decade ago, and I was working with this company and the leadership team. It was actually in near Karnataka and or in Karnataka. It's a dry state, as you would know, but not many of the listeners or the viewers would know that. So a semi-arid state in India. And working with this company, and we were at the initial stage of identifying projects to work on. Now, they had done their homework, so there were 10 projects that they had listed, and here I was working with the leadership team. And it's not too hard to prioritize, right? There's the quadrant matrix of what are the opportunities and what's the ease of implementation. And we had gone like, yeah, right, it seems like these two. Now, there was the site leader who was a wonderful people's person, and Bala, and he was just sitting at the back. He was just looking at the list, and all of a sudden he just sprung up, and he just walked to the board, and just grabbed the board marker from my hand, And he crossed off the third project that we had prioritized, and he circled one from towards the bottom quarter. And I was just perplexed. I was just looking at his face, and I knew a lot of the other people were thinking, what's going on here? Because there wasn't a lot of monetary opportunity with that project. And it was a project on water savings. Now, because this company was part of a multinational company, they were already ahead with that thinking, and they already had systems and to kind of save the water. So I'm like, well, Bala, it's what's the logic? And then he said the most profound thing. He said, Ishan, Karnataka is one of the driest states in India. Yes, there isn't a lot of monetary money associated with this project. But see this value statement that we have on the wall in our business. It says something about being environmentally responsible. I want to demonstrate to my people that this is important to me. And that's not just a statement we put on the wall. We do our part to save water. And he went to said, Ishan, most of these people would go home and they don't have running water in their homes. So a lot of their partners, the females, right, because it's a male-dominant industry, their wives would have walked for miles to bring water to the home. So they know what it is to save water. They know how much what the difficulty they have to go through. So I want to do my part so that I can demonstrate. Now, what do you think the message is when you share that with your people, right? I mean, so profound. And, all of a sudden, Bala was, 6 inches taller in my eyes, right? I mean, that is true leadership. And that demonstrates when we build the capability, this is the stuff, right? People read a lot of Simon Sinek and, Brené Brown and, all these concepts on how to lead. Well, continuous improvement provides the vehicle for you to be the best leader.
Well said. Well said. So, Ishan, I have time for only one more question.
Sure.
And this question is for a lot of our young viewers and listeners who are also entrepreneurs or running SMEs.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to small and medium enterprises to improve their productivity?
Yeah. I can give a very practical and a tactical, just do this, but I can also give kind of a philosophical advice as well. So let me give the practical and the tactical, which is the easy one. Go and focus on the output of the first hour of your day. Just focus on the first output of the first hour. Chances are, if you're hitting more than 50%, you're doing well. Particularly if you're a Monday to Friday, if you're a stop-start kind of an industry, right? If you're continuous manufacturing, then it may not be as relevant. But if you're an SME, most likely you're running stop-start Monday to Friday. Focus on the first hour, and whatever the roadblocks are that they can't hit, they can't start up and run to the required rate. Remove those roadblocks and fix those issues and help people to set up and be up and running. Because if you start well in the first hour, more than likely you're going to do well for the rest of the 7 hours of that shift. So that's the easy kind
Very
of
well said.
doing, for people
And
who are doing. The philosophical answer is when your top line grows, typically the bottom line goes the other way. So a lot of businesses I work with say, Ishan, 3 years ago, as a net percentage, we were delivering a better profit than we are today. But the top line is growing. Now, that's because the complexity within grows faster than the top line. The issue is that they have finished the kindergarten and the primary school, and they have gone to the high school, and they have forgotten to wear the long pants. They're still turning up to high school with the short pants. Now, what I mean by that is, when you're a small business and you probably got 10 people doing everything, do whatever it takes to get the stuff out, right? But you get to a certain level, your thinking has to be like one of the big businesses, like the multinationals. Now, there are systems and processes, the day-to-day systems that I spoke of earlier. Put those in, because otherwise very soon the business is going to run away from you. And you're going to be so stressed out, and you're going to be pulling your hair out, and you're going to be wondering why you have started to do this, and is it all worth it? It is, just go back to the fundamentals and put them in and just unlock the true potential in your business.
Very well said. Ishan, on that note, and your amazing piece of advice, focus on output in the first hour, and you'll get an answer on how your productivity will improve over the whole day. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your journey. Thank you for speaking to me about productivity across so many different industries and for people as each one of us in our personal lives. Thank you also for speaking to me about your Chaos to Excellence principles and your forthcoming book. All the very best for your new book. Thank you again for talking to me, and good luck to you.
Well, thank you very much, and all the very best to you. And thank you again for inviting me, Ashutosh.
Thank you.
Much, much obliged and much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.